Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the other host, Mr. Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Well, Joe, temps are cooling off, leaves are changing or falling. We just had, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches of snow last weekend. I mean, it's go really? Time. Yeah.
Man, I'm jealous. I love snow. I'm jealous. We got cold. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of crappy here. We had the weather this weekend was 45 to 48, rainy, miserable, gloomy. Couldn't go outside. I mean, it rained. And there was nothing to do. And the kids were in the house. So I was ready to give them away. But it's a good time of the year. You know, the trade show season's coming. We got some shows coming up. I'm going to zip down to Louisville for the Industry Expo, or the Equipment Expo. Used to be, what did it used to be?
GEI,
the show.
Green Industry Expo.
GEI. What a huge show. So I'm going to go check that baby out, see if I can't buy some new toys. You know, I got the itch to buy something new. So it's going to be either there or at the TCI Expo. I think I'm due for something new.
I think a lot of business owners are. We're coming towards the end of the year, Q4. You got to spend some of that money before Uncle Sam takes his share. So make it worth it.
That's a good point. And a good point for business owners too, as you come into this end of the year, Q4, be up to date on your estimated taxes and know what you got to spend and hit these shows and buy the guys a new rig.
You should.
I like it.
And if you or your chapter is like the Rocky Mountain chapter, they just sent out kind of your CEUs to maintain your ISA certified arborist credentials. They expire at the end of the year, or you know, whatever. Maybe you're on that cycle. Mine expire at the end of the year. So if a friendly reminder to some of the listeners, if you don't know, check. And if you have checked and you need to get your CEUs, make sure you're getting them. And that'll actually lead us into tonight's conversation as well as it relates to CEUs. So make sure you're taking care of that, because you don't want to have to retest and do all that.
I honestly think that if mine lapsed, I'd retire. I'm not going. I'm not taking it again. You know what? I'm at the, like, I don't know. I don't know if I had the energy left to go. I don't even know. I don't know. I just, if I let it go, I'm done. Call it a day.
Joe's retiring. All right. Well, Joe, let's bring on our guest. Let's talk CEUs. Let's talk modern arboriculture. Let's talk raising the bar in the industry. How do you feel about that?
It's what we do, buddy.
All right. Well then, without any further ado, our guest tonight is Mr. John Snow. He's with Tree Checkup, and he is a board certified master arborist. And there's a good story behind what he's doing and why. So, John, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Joe. Hey, Joe, I'm going to bring a little bit of snow your direction.
Okay.
That's a little pun.
Yeah.
John
Snow. I like it. I like it.
John, well, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and about your journey to where you are today.
Oh, man, that is so great. You know, I've been an arborist for over 30 years now. You know, I went to Western Illinois University, basically got a degree in urban forestry, urban planning, and really just kind of fell into arboriculture. I did an internship as an arborist, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had no plans on being an arborist. I actually wanted to be an urban planner. And next thing you know, I'm out climbing trees, enjoying things, learning new things, learning all this stuff about trees, and boom, I'm an arborist. And 2005, became a board certified master arborist, actually one of the first board certified master arborists. As soon as they rolled out the program, I signed up, tested, and got my BCMA, on my sixth renewal cycle now.
Wow.
You talk about renewing CEUs. I'll tell you, I would be retiring too, Joe, if I didn't.
That didn't happen. You messed up. I don't blame you. You know what, Joe, I want you to go back just one step farther. I think it's important. I was checking out your bio.
Sure.
You've been in the industry, but even before you got into industry, like a lot of our guests, oh, I loved to get trees as a kid. I knew I was going to be a tree guy, and I was climbing when I was a baby. Everybody did. But you, when you graduated, you spent some time serving also. So yeah. You were in the Navy?
Yeah, right out of high school, I graduated high school early. Didn't do so good in college, having a little bit too much fun to
truth be told.
Oh, yeah.
And so the parents kind of pulled the plug on the college routine and didn't have a whole lot else going. And it's like, well, Navy recruiter showed up. He's like, hey, so when are you going to join the Navy? I was like, well, I got nothing else going.
How about today?
So next thing I know, I was in the Navy. So I did a stint in the Navy. And after I got out of the Navy, I had the GI Bill. So I was able to go back to college. And the good news is at that point, you know, I'd kind of matured enough. Obviously, I wasn't ready to go into college.
That's kind of why I wanted to bring that up, because you served in the Navy the same time I served in the Marine Corps.
Okay, it was cool.
The same thing. I wasn't ready for college either. And I didn't even give it a go. I didn't even give it a shot. I just joined. I just like, I'm not going to college. But you're right. I got some money when I got out, and I remember going to Coastal Carolina Community College and then finish up my associates at Macomb County Community College. But yeah, you're right. It puts your life in a different perspective and kind of puts you on a path. And even after you got out, your first couple jobs listed, you started doing tree work right away in different things, like at the golf courses and wherever you were at. You were messing with trees right out of the Navy.
Well, yeah. Well, really, pretty much when I graduated college, that's really when I just went full on board with trees. So it was really more got out of the Navy, ended up going back to school, taking a bunch of urban forestry, urban planning classes, biology, all that stuff. And then I got this internship at Medina Country Club as an arborist. And when I finished the internship, they said, well, hey, would you like to stay on board? I was like, sure, why not? It was like a great gig for a guy straight out of college. And so I did a few years working for a couple different golf courses before I got into commercial arboriculture.
And go ahead, Corey.
No, please.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that you went, and this is something, Corey, you and I have talked about. They go to school for urban planning or urban forestry. And believe it or not, it is different than arboriculture.
It is.
And there's a big conference that was going on this week, the second annual urban forestry conference. I don't know if it was in Washington, D.C., John, or where was it? Chicago was trees and below grade.
World Forum or something like that on
urban forestry. Wasn't that in Washington, D.C. then?
Yeah, it's in D.C. They're up in D.C. right now as we're talking. And
on the World Forum of Urban Forestry. And I made a comment to someone just the other day, and it's kind of funny we're going down this path, is that, well, we need to talk about urban forestry, about the planning and planting. And I says, and you got to go past it to arboriculture, which is the preservation and protection. Mm. Like, oh, okay, I guess. I'm like, well, isn't that what an arborist does? So I was in a debate on what is the difference between urban forestry and arboriculture?
Well, and that's, it's an interesting thought, Joe, because where you take your arborist certification and credentials and what you do with it, the sky's the limit. And we need more. We need more.
Yeah.
So and that's, John, exactly, why I became a board certified master arborist, because, you know, I saw that, you know, it's like, okay, hey, I'm a certified arborist. What am I going to do next to help differentiate myself from everybody else out there?
So what are you doing today, John? What does your day-to-day look like? What's your current role? And keep in mind who our listeners are. What does that look like for you as a board certified master arborist?
Sure. You know, my firm is basically kind of twofold. So I do both consulting work, project work, and then I also focus pretty heavily on arborist education, working with other arborists to really help build up individuals as well as working with companies and helping them.
And you're based out of Florida now, yeah. Correct? Yeah, but we'll travel.
You know, I like to say I am the traveling arborist. So I go pretty much anywhere in the Southeast. You know, this December, I'm actually going to be traveling out to the ASCA conference in Seattle.
Seattle, I'll be there.
Cool. Well, I'll see you there. Actually, you'll see me probably on the stage speaking.
Oh, no kidding. What's your topic going to be? Or what are you going to?
I can't tell you that. That's a secret.
I thought we were going to tease the listeners. I don't even know if the program's out yet, but I'm getting emails for it telling me to make my reservations. So any ASCA members or board certified master arborists, get over there.
Absolutely. If you're want to get involved, become an RCA, join ASCA, and there you go.
I think that's
my plug for ASCA.
Johnny, I think you're right, though, but I think that is another credential that we really haven't dove into, Corey, is ASCA certified or another credential. And as a BCMA consulting arborist, track certified, in obviously your degree was in urban planning and trees. What's is leading me up to is I had a question posed to me today. I met up with an arborist. He's from Ontario, and we were talking, and we were talking about kind of what we're going to build up to when we're talking about what you do on a day-to-day basis, John, is that what makes somebody a professional arborist? You know, because he's like, oh, he's so-called professional arborist. And I'm like, well, what is a professional arborist?
That's a good
Is that a fair question, John?
That's a great question, Joe.
The credentials obviously are continue education, which I think is part of being a professional arborist. You have to continue to learn. But what makes an individual a professional arborist?
Wow. You know, there's so much that really goes into being a professional arborist. First of all, you have to have great communication skills. And hey, we're all continuing to learn and communicate better, particularly as in a written format. That was probably one of the key things one of my college professors told me is, if you want to manage trees, you have to learn how to write. And literally 50% of every test was written. And he graded you not just on what you said, but also on how you said it, your grammar, your punctuation. He was a tough cookie, but I'm telling you, it's that ability to communicate with other people helps separate you from the other guys out there that are, you know, not quite as professional.
I'm not picking on their ability or their knowledge. Corey, that's an amazing statement he just said. It's communication.
Yeah.
It's huge. That's life.
Well,
life, not just as a professional arborist.
Yeah, life and the relationships that you have and communicating your thoughts, ideas, and intentions is so, so big, so powerful. That was one of the reasons I chose that as my third major in college, interpersonal communications. And what you'll learn is that a lot of it is actually nonverbal. It's not just that you're hearing my voice on the podcast, but you're seeing my hands move or you're hearing some tonation in the voice or the body language. And now we're talking about communicating via writing. And John, you've been in this industry and you've been in our Arbor culture 30 something years. You've probably seen, a lot of change, but at the same point, there's still some key fundamentals that have remained the same.
You know, you're hitting the nail right on the head there, Corey, because, one of the things that, I recently launched is kind of this whole arborist word of the day. Okay. You can see that on LinkedIn. I've been trying to be as regular as I can on that every day, posting an arborist word of the day. And there's two things that really go into that. And maybe I haven't been so clear with people on LinkedIn as far as why I'm doing that. But the first thing is going back to the basics. As arborists, I've been doing this 30 years. And when I talk about these basic key terms in arboriculture, it's like this floodgate just opens up of, oh my gosh, all these different things pop in your brain that I've learned over the years. But hey, new arborists, younger arborists don't have all that. And so hopefully they can kind of benefit from the conversations on LinkedIn and things like that. But then the other part of this, Corey, is as arborists, we have to learn how to, number one, communicate with other arborists. But more importantly, we have to be able to communicate to our clients, whether that is Mrs. Smith talking about her sweet gum tree in her backyard, or talking to the mayor or a council or a committee, whatever. And so I've done all of those kinds of things, but you're not going to win the conversation by going in there with, well, there's adventitious buds on this sweet gum and this and that and the other.
Right.
Mrs. Smith, it's like right over her head. Yeah. The mayor's like looking at you like you just grew a second head, and you're not going to win that conversation. So, but these basic terms as arborists, we need to understand what those are and then work our language and our communication around those things in terms that people can understand.
I like it.
That's really what separates a professional, Joe.
I think, I'll thumbs up and hats off on your arborist word of the day. I've been following it. Cool. And, someone taught me or told me, I don't know where I got this, but to learn, you need to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last couple of years, I've been involved with arborist certification prep courses on small scale. A couple of the big companies brought me in to kind of go through the book on some of their kids. I shouldn't say kids. They're kids to me because I got older. Kids older. But when you really dig into that, you have to explain it to somebody versus just reading it and remembering it. What a difference. So I think you're right. Words of the day, understanding what they were when we communicate with each other as industry professionals, we know exactly what we're talking about.
And touching trees. Yep. Shigo, heck, that was the name of his book, Touch Trees. There are so many people who just, we take that for granted. I was at a workshop last week, and I think out of the five or six presenters, every single person said the word cambium. Nobody gave a definition, right? Until it was me and then the person after me. But everybody said that. But when we actually saw a wood mill after, and they were actually making a slab, and we got to see that difference in the bark and the xylem and the phloem, you could see, you would have thought the sun came out because light bulbs were going off. It was pretty cool.
You had a sawmill at a trade show?
It was a small conference over on the western slope of Colorado, Grand Junction. A portable, yeah.
Get out. I don't know how many, John, I don't know how many you've been to, but I don't think, I could honestly say, I don't think I've ever been at a tree care conference where there was a sawmill running.
Never seen it.
It was cool. And they even brought in, so they put, here's the cool part. Here's where us tree geeks would get a kick out of it. they brought in this giant loader, right? This giant loader brought in, dropped in, I don't know, it was probably a 25, 28 inch ash tree. And they actually milled a couple of slabs off of that. But the cool thing was, is the individual who presented one before me and then my talk was also a lot about some of the insects we have. Well, wouldn't you know, in this ash slab, we could identify lilac ash borer, ash bark beetle. It was actually, people got to see it. I mean, how many arborists do you know? And I know a lot in the Front Range of Colorado, Utah, Idaho, who talk about emerald ash borer, you know, probably could ID it if it was in their hands. But to actually physically touch these things and to see how they're interacting with the tree, that was pretty cool. You can't replace that.
No, that's the nerd stuff that we need more of. And not that arborist word of the day is a nerd thing, but it kind of is, but it's a necessity. Because if you don't use it, John, you forget it.
I think so. You know, and the cool thing with that is I put together the whole arborist pocket guide and keywords to know, and that's a free download. And it's literally, I went through the study guide and each chapter, I picked out all the keywords from each chapter and basically plugged that in. These are the keywords that we need to know as arborists. And there's a lot of other words out there that's going on. There was just a conversation today on LinkedIn about coronet cuts. Hey, guess what? That's not in the study guide.
No. If you think about coronet plays, you know, A, B, C, you know, 1, 2, 3 or whatever. But yeah, you're right. If you never have heard it before, you're like, what the fuck is that? And you're scratching your head wondering, you don't want to, then you won't say nothing in conference because you don't want to look like a guy that don't know what a coronet cut is.
Well, let's explain that. Let's just say there's a millennial here, or maybe somebody who didn't read this book. What is it? What is this kind of cut? Let's explain it.
Well, I'm not going to go into the coronet cut. We're going to stick to the basics here.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what, John, what else are you working on that's new and exciting? What new things are you doing? How can arborists really get the most out of what you're putting out other than the word of the day, for instance, CEUs, trainings? What does that look like?
Sure. Absolutely. So like I said, I have that arborist pocket guide. People can go to the website, go into the store. My goal behind that is to really make that the gold standard for people that want a self-paced course, to learn the basics of arboriculture, not just going over the study guide, but also getting this deeper, you know, hey, 30 years of perspective on this and that and the other. So those
I think
are
it's important to put what you're laying down in applicable situations that resonate with the attendees in that class. You know, you're right. You could put a class to sleep pretty easy reading the study guide. But if you take that and put it into real life situations and why that is important and have experienced it yourself, that's when it's relatable.
I think that's applicable.
It's another part of communication. I've sat in classes where people are trying to tell about something that they read about and they're trying to teach it and they've never done it. And you're scratching your head like, well, that ain't going to work. That doesn't sound right. But if you've done it, then you can teach it, I think.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I'm really big on is, you know, really kind of the what I call the five pillars of arboriculture. Okay. Tree biology, tree physiology, tree ID, soil science, and water management.
Heck yeah.
So those are the first four chapters of the study guide, and they're probably the hardest chapters. But when you really stop to think about it, as I was continuing building out this whole CEU thing or the arborist course, as I get further and further down, it's like, okay, I'm taking this and tying it back to that tree physiology, that tree biology. all these different kinds of things, because, you know, you go through like the soil chapter in the study guide, and it's like the blandest thing you could read. I mean, it about puts me to sleep.
It's a tough one.
And here's that chart on soil pHs. And you guys know this because this is your guys' day-to-day business. Right. That soil pH is super, super important. But it's not until you get into, say, the fertilization chapter where, hey, all of a sudden, that soil pH stuff begins to really apply. And that's where the light bulbs begin to go off. So it's literally what I try to do is tie things back in and also throw in that insight of, hey, I ran into this in this kind of situation, and this is how this could apply. Super important.
I like it. I think I know that being a certified iris is key, and Corey and I both believe in the process and the continued education. But I think I'm scratching my head without offending anybody. I'm thinking academia is let down in arboriculture, because where do you go to learn this? Now, if you can, urban forestry, there's a lot of great schools that teach urban forestry.
Sure.
And they got one or two classes on arboriculture.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't prep you for getting out in the real world and becoming an arborist.
Well, and you'll hear myself included. I went to school on this. I got a couple majors in it. I've learned way more, and I think a lot of our listeners are the same. I've learned way more in the field with my hands dirty, listening and not trying to prove myself to anybody, but listening to lead climbers, salespeople, whatever. There's a lot. And John, I'm wondering with you too, is you've probably heard, I mean, you didn't get to be a board certified master arborist for this long without having mentors. And I'm wondering who was maybe one of your mentors, or what was some of the best mentored advice that was given to you that shaped the arborist you are today?
Wow. You know, probably the best advice goes back to what I just said a little while ago about the college professor saying, hey, you need to learn how to write. I quite literally took every college level writing class I could take after I had taken that class, because it stuck in my brain and it just made so much sense. And so that was probably the key. But then when I did this internship, it was such a great opportunity for me, because it was on a golf course. The golf course actually had barracks. So they had a whole bunch of employees there, and they stuck the interns in there as well. Well, that's, you know, I had nothing else to do other than read. And so literally I read every magazine article, every technical article, every book I could find on arboriculture for literally 6 months. And it sounds, we talk about being tree nerd, that's me.
Oh man.
But you know, since then, you know, it's finding people in the industry, whether they're arborists or not, that you can align with and have that mentoring, just in like sales skills, working with clients, learning more about arboriculture, anything that will move you along. You know, I have 2-3 mentors right now, you know, so even though I've got 30 years of experience, I have mentors that I call up, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And it's important to really have that feedback and have these good mentors. And that's part of the reason why, that's another thing that I'm rolling out, is an arborist community, where arborists can get on, go back and forth and chat. I had it kind of beta launched, and so I'm going to be relaunching that probably over the winter months. And that's to help facilitate that whole mentoring and just good communication. One of the big things there is I'm not going to allow job posting. I see that on a lot of like the forums and this and that.
Yeah, it takes away from it. Yeah.
And yeah, it's not there to promote this or that. The whole goal is promote arboriculture culture, promote the individuals in arboriculture culture.
And have a professional sounding board for issues in the industry and get professional back or feedback. I'm going to tell you guys that as we talk about mentors, I had an opportunity. I was working for this professional, and I'm using air quotes so the listeners can't see, professional sales manager. And he was, mentors don't always teach you what's right. And what I'm trying to get to is I hated the way this guy did things, that the mentorship to me was, I would never do it like that because I will not treat people the way that you did.
Yeah.
And I felt that was a tough lesson. And I was a mentor. I don't know if he was I don't know if he's a mentor, because that's what I got to say on this, because it's a PG podcast, but not everything you learn is all rainbows and unicorns. There's some hard lessons in this industry. And I think this industry is a grounded industry with a lot of blue collar individuals that need to be treated with respect. And I didn't see that. And I learned early in my career, I would not treat people like that.
Well, if I can add one more thing, and then John, we'll give you kind of the floor for some closing remarks or any closing points that you'd like to make. But just to kind of round out this circle here on maybe some of the advice that I got, it's hard for me now, having had my ski career, whatever that was, whatever arborist career I'm in, it's hard for me now to not embrace the process. I think a lot of people just want the result. They just look at the end. They just look at, hey, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get there, but they don't embrace the process. And whether I'm coaching my little kids skiing out on the hill, or I'm looking at myself in the career, trying to build a business or trying to build other people's businesses, you know, you're gonna learn along the way, and that's kind of the beautiful thing. You're also gonna stumble, and just like to Joe's credit, is you've got to know right from wrong. You've got to take a little bit of the good and a little bit of the bad and push this thing forward. So, you know, truly, you know, I'm 30 something, but that's kind of this paradigm shift that I've seen in kind of how I've been perceiving things and conversations that I have with mentors and folks who have been in the industry, like you, like Joe, like John, that I really think a lot of people hopefully will get there at some point. But John, as you're tying all this conversation together, and you've been gracious enough to give us all this time so far, what else is there anything you want to leave the listeners with, or any shout outs? Obviously we'll have our producer put a link to your website in the show notes, but anything you want to leave the listeners with?
Sure. You know, I this is such a great conversation. I agree 100% with what Joe is saying. Sometimes you have to have that bad boss or that bad experience and learn from that. That's key. As arborists, probably the biggest takeaway I can leave listeners with is, as an arborist, you're always continuing to learn. It's not about you got to get CEUs. Those are important, but you're always continuing to learn and improve and enhance things, whether it be your communication, whether it be your sales skills, whether it be your climbing skills, pruning skills, any of that kind of stuff. And on top of that, what's important to me is that we start to raise the bar in our industry. I feel like arborists in general are not paid well enough. They're not respected. And we need a seat at the table. We need to be those guys out there that become that trusted professional. And in order for that to happen, people out there need to become more professional. And you're going to do that by learning, educating yourself, getting certified, and advancing your career, paying your people right, treating them right, and having a good, viable business.
Mic drop. Well said, Jon Snow. Thank you for that. I've got nothing to add. Thank you for that, John.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys so much for having me on board here today. This is totally fun. We need to do this again sometime.
Oh, most definitely, John. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.